Pawtucket to the shores of Orange Beach and all points in between. An insider's perspective on Alabama politics. It's the Jeff Poor Show.
I don't think Hank done it this way.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show at FM Talk 106.5, 6 minutes after the hour on this Thursday morning. We do appreciate you listening, as always. Still to come on the program, the official Democrat response on the Jeff Poor Show. Former Congressman Parker Griffith will be with us. That's in about a half hour. I know you guys really love hearing from him, but we try to keep at least keep that perspective fresh on this program. He'll join us in like I said, about 30 minutes. But joining us now, very pleased to bring on my next guest, a friend of mine from my time up at WVNN in North Alabama. He was the chairman of Tuberville's U.S. Senate campaign, successful U.S. Senate campaign. Now the co-chair of Congressman Brooks' U.S. Senate campaign. Stan McDonald on the line. Stan, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Jeff, and first let me commend your bumper music, Waylon Jennings. I don't think Hank done it this way. It's about as good as it gets. Thank you for helping refresh my day with that good music.
Well, I appreciate that. One thing about this show, whether you like it or not, I get a lot of compliments about the bumper music, so at least I guess I got that going for me here. But anyway, as listening to you talk to my Yellowhammer colleague, Dale Jackson, on his show yesterday, and I some of the things that really resonated with me, you first off talking about, you know, this wave of progressivism that's you know, I think it's there in Washington, despite what some people may say that it's exaggerated or overblown. You didn't used to take these notions seriously. We never would have taken critical race theory as being a thing that was going to dominate any space in our culture seriously. But the goalposts keep shifting. And more and more talking about more of these, their socialist ideas are becoming more of a mainstream thought. And you said something I thought, who do we need to send as a counter to that? Is it country club, blue blood, Rockefeller type Republicans, or do we really need to kind of balance it out with the what used to be known as the Tea Party brand of conservatism, that Republican up in Washington, D.C.?
Yes, thank you for pointing that out. Where do I begin? This, what's going on in our country, we have to mean real business, and we have to understand what's going on at the granular and the cellular and, shall we say, the ideological level. Now, the Marxist-Leninists are real people, you know, and it's a real movement. And Mo Brooks used to call the Democrats socialist Democrats 10 years ago, 12 years ago. And I was there by his side when he called flack for that, and people would say, well, you know, they're not really socialists. And they would say they're not really socialists. These days, they are unapologetically socialists and not absolutely socialists. And they were socialists back then, too. But Mo Brooks knew at the ideological, philosophical level exactly what they were. Now, they're creeping in and creeping in and creeping in. And some people laugh it off and say, well, you know, we'll never do that here. You know, Joe, he never do something like that. He's really one of us. Just he goes along and tries to get us a little bit of money down here, you know. But we're not going to do that. Listen, it's called the dialectics of materialism. If you want to look it up and study Karl Marx and Ilyich Lenin, they will tell you exactly what they're planning on doing in this country. And we are going to have to wake up and understand that there are people in this world that hate United States of America and what they stand for now, and they want to, and they're doing a pretty good job of undermining and taking from us. Now, some people asked me at lunch yesterday, they said, well, how come if they have the military might they do, the Red Chinese, some of these folks, why don't they do something to us militarily that they supposedly could do right now if they were brave enough? And it's like Dr. Fred Schwartz said, who studies this stuff, he said that you don't kill a cow before you steal it. China is getting a lot of good things from America right now. Why would they not want to keep getting our technology? Why would they not want us to, in some ways, keep being able to use the profit motive to research and develop and invent things and whatnot? They're getting a pretty good ride. And they're getting a pretty good ride with the aid and assistance of a lot of the professional so-called business associations in the state of Alabama and in our country. Josh Hawley said a few months ago, I saw him on Fox News, that a lot of the business associations in America had become junior lobbying associations for China. I'm about damn tired of people feeling like they're effective in Washington, D.C., because they knew how to cut the latest deal with China. We need strong people, strong Americans who have some intellect and some connectivity with the American ideology, not what's right. I mean, not what might makes right. That's the people we fought against. That's the people that if you follow that, it's going to lead to a dictatorial, disorderly, no more freedom situation. That must be what you thought I was talking about.
Well, just that in general there, that, you know, the counterbalance to what's going on isn't, you know, this like Mitt Romney type of Republican or a Bob Dole or whatever. You know, the kind of the Republican that a lot of the business community, I think, wants out front. They want somebody that, you know, maybe is more catering to big business, the Chamber of Commerce types. And that, you know, there is the response to that is just more of a kind of a radical ideology from the Democratic Party that we need to nationalize things, that we need to socialize things and redistribute wealth. And you know, the normal, like, things we always worry about as conservatives.
You know, Jean Kirkpatrick was the ambassador to the United Nations under Ronald Reagan, and she was great. And she used to say that Americans have a will to disbelieve the horrible. We want to believe that everything's just fine, everything's A-OK. And, you know, maybe if we're really nice to our enemies, maybe they'll really realize that we're nice guys after all. They might give us a solid in return. And that's the way that a lot of these affluent Republican types, and I'm all for affluence, I'm all for prosperity. But, you know, there's a prosperity needs to have a depth of character to it. And it needs to be based upon a depth of character and values that is, and those values are what's under attack in America right now by all the bad guys. And we need to be awakened to it, not be cutting corners on American values and principles. And I'm talking about the Constitution, and I'm talking about it's under attack. And we're up on a what's called a mid-cycle. We're going to be in the midterm between Biden started in 20, you know, he's going to be halfway between his term. This is a time we've got to take back control of the Senate. And we've got to take back control of the House. And we need to do it, not just thank you very much, but we need to do it with a vengeance. And Donald Trump understands that we are in a battle for the survival of America. Now, we elected Tommy Tuberville this past time here. What's one of the main things he said when he walked around? He said, look, he said, we're in trouble in this country, and I'm going to go up there and fight for Donald Trump like no one else ever has. And I think that's what's in order. I think it's even more in order now that, you know, Tommy didn't expect Trump to lose. And I promise you right now, he's in a situation different than he was afraid he was going to be in. So now's the time to turn up and amp it up all the more. We don't need any people that are unproven or untested or a little bit shy on calling things what they are to represent Alabama. Alabama is arguably the most conservative state in America. And so when we send somebody up there to fight and message from Alabama for MAGA and the America First Movement, we better send somebody that's tested and proven. And Donald Trump knows exactly who that is. He's vetted the situation. He has spoken about it. We've got one or two of candidates to say, well, Mr. Trump, you really don't know best what you're talking about. We think it ought to be me. Well, okay, they've got that perfect right to do that, and I understand it. Some of them are pretty sharp folks. But maybe what they need to hear is thank you for your participation, but now's not the time.
Joined by Stan McDonald. He's the co-chairman of Mo Brook. Still there, Stan?
Hey, I'm here. Yes. Probably got cut off somehow.
So we had an emergency EAS test there.
Okay.
Which you do, I guess, sporadically every at random every month, and we just happen to get you just have to be in the middle of it there. We're joined by Stan McDonald.
Do I need to lay in a ditch somewhere?
No, I think you're going to be all right. joined by Stan McDonald. He's the co-chairman of Mo Brooks' 2022 U.S. Senate campaign. Stan, something else you said that I want to get to. Now, you looked at the possibility of running for governor against Kay Ivey. I assumed you looked at it from a polling perspective. It just doesn't look like it is doable, at least not right now. But you still think that the governor has some vulnerabilities in a head-to-head matchup in a Republican primary. Can you talk a little bit about your decision there and really where you see that, if anything, coming out of a potential primary matchup, if at all?
Well, that's a... You put a lot out there, Jeff. I did think about it. I thought about it not just from polling, but just what's best for me and the family and what's best for all parties concerned. I do think that Kay Ivey right now, if you look at all the objective indicators, polling and things like that, money raising, where it's coming from, a person could look at that objectively and say she's literally unbeatable. And that person would be agreed with in the orthodox circles. I have plenty of very conservative friends who wish that that was not the report. But that is the report. The way I see it is that somebody would have to probably have about $1.5 million of their own money on day one, run an excellent campaign, not make any mistakes, and then have a little bit of luck along the way. And in order to defeat Kay Ivey. Now, I personally think that there's a lot of people that hate to hear that news because and I'll speak straight up here, and I kind of like Kay Ivey personally. She knows. I don't know if she hears this or my commentary on this, but she's really been a long-time friend, actually. I've been supportive of her, giving her money and so forth. But now... we need to be real careful in Alabama, or we're going to get behind on something. Florida, Ron DeSantis, Mississippi, and Tennessee, Bill Lee governors, these guys are fighters. They have a chip on their shoulder. They know we're in a war and a battle. When things come down from the CDC and places like that, the automatic response is not, well, let's trust the science. BS, there is no science coming out of Washington, D.C. anymore. The science is common sense. And common sense tells us you don't shut down the government over something that kills less than 1% of the people. Now, when this was going on, I was very patient because Kay Ivey is a God-fearing woman, and she's a fine person, and she's trying her best to do what's right. But what I am saying is that let's be very aware that our country is under attack right now, and we need angry fighters with a little bit of chip on their shoulders that understand that we're going to have to push back at the state level. And we are going to have to dare defend our rights. And there's some things we're just going to have to take a risk on here and there and say, no, not on my watch. No, not in the state of Alabama. No, what seems to make sense at the surface level does not in the best interest of a freedom-loving people. We're in a time where we're really going to have to fight. And I'll say I love Kay. I love Kay. But now, you know, 4 more years, we should probably think it through. You know, when a football coach goes 7-4 at the end of a season, if we're from one of those schools that's real serious about winning championships, you do sit down and review what's going on after that 7-4 season.
So you would liken this first term to a 7-4 season. Is that a fair statement?
Maybe 8-4.
Okay.
Like her.
Well, I mean, that's still an interesting perspective. Hey, Stan, sorry to get you interrupted there, but we got to get to break. Thanks for coming on the program.
Thank you.
All right, Stan McDonald, ladies and gentlemen, co-chairman of Mo Brooks 2022 campaign, talking about some things going on. Let's get a break here. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5. South's gonna do it again and again.